Here we go. Off to Molineux to take on Wolverhampton Wanderers Saturday afternoon. Jimbo, reaction. It's needed.
And a big one.
We'll discuss that potential reaction, the whole game, and the whole picture at the bottom of the table after this intro. Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As you'll know by now, I'm Kev and with me is the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe. And we're going to preview, well, and a huge game of Premier League football, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Luton Town, 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. If you've not got a ticket to the away end, rather predictably, it's already sold out. You'll need to rely on some audio commentary if you're not going to the game. And what a game it is, James. As we said in the review of the Brentford game, which if you've not listened to, we completely understand. Nothing, no damage, no sort of artificial damage was done. This is the one to give ourselves a right good go at this.
It is. It was sort of back in the same place, really, aren't we? Other than the fact that you've got lick wounds from a pretty humbling and worst defeat and worst performance of the season. That's the main thing. It's the reaction now, and that's what we've got to go for. And if you didn't listen to the Brentford one, you can still go back because most of it's not about Brentford. It's about Forest. And funny it is.
It is indeed, yeah. I suspect by the time that you're watching or listening to this podcast, there'll have been an awful lot more official club accounts that have had their say. But well done, Crystal Palace, on being the first one to to reply to that stupid Nottingham Forest tweet. Big game, though. But this, I mean, going into these five games, everyone looked at the three home games as the games that we could win. But all of a sudden, you look at Wolves' form and you're like, why the fuck were we fearing this to begin with? I mean, before we go on to their form right now, they looked a poor side at our place. And I know we're going back a long time, but they did, didn't they? And then you look at the league table and you're like, how's that happened? Now you look at their form, haven't won a game since they got knocked out of the FA Cup by Coventry, which isn't the, you know, I'm not saying that's the worst result. Look at what Coventry nearly did to Man United at the weekend. But it does start to look like, and I know injuries are biting, so if you're a Wolves fan watching this, so we will come on to those, but it does look like that dented them big time because, you know, that's over a month ago now to have not won a game since then, and they've played Sheffield United, sorry, and they played Burnley in that time. Starting to wonder, and Notts Forest actually, funnily enough, starting to wonder if their season ended when Coventry did that miraculous Houdini act at their place.
Yeah, it was a hell of a performance, actually. I was watching that in the press room at Luton for one of the home games around that time. Can't quite remember which one.
They all pale into one, don't they, after this?
We've done many of these. It has. And
I mean, ironically, it was Forest. Because the game would have been moved had we have beaten Man City. And
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, that was a, it was a good day, that one, in the end. It possibly could be that way. And, you know, injuries have hit and we have full sympathy with you there, Wolves. You know, bloody hard.
Well, we've still got you covered. Yeah. You've got injuries, but we've got you covered.
I mean, we've still got some players out and some that aren't going to be back as well. And it's been tough. It's been tough since that last meeting. And that was the first game, really, I felt, where Luton didn't get what they deserved. I thought 3 points would have been deserved, but Neto had an absolute stormer. He was the difference, really, between 3 points and just the one. But, you know, it was a good performance from Luton. They've gone on a much better run since that in the intervening times, and full credit to them. I think Gary O'Neill's a very good coach, and he's proved that way. And for a while, it looked like Bournemouth had egg on their face for not appointing him again, or keeping him on, sorry, and getting Iraola, because he took a long time to come in and hit the ground. I mean, they've both found themselves mid-table-ish, Wolves higher, aren't they, obviously. So they've got a lot of good players, and I think most of them are out, really, which is a bonus. And we've got to take these little omens where we can get them. But if you can capitalise on them not being full strength and being safe and not having too much to play for, other than pride, obviously, and they'll be at home, so it'll be difficult, then you've got to take whatever you can get.
Yeah, two things to mention before we go anywhere here. We're recording this before Rob's press conference, as we always do. We're also recording this before they host Bournemouth on Wednesday night, so that we can get this turned around and get out to you as early as possible. So we're recording this pre-Bournemouth. So if you suddenly won a game, Wolves, and I've just said that it's six without a win. If you have suddenly won a game, that's why. I don't actually think you do beat Bournemouth, but that's by the by. The reason why I mentioned about the cup defeat sort of ending their season is because the international break followed. So they had 2 weeks to dwell on that and come back, fighting if it hadn't ended their season. So it does seem like they were putting all of their eggs in the FA Cup basket. And at the time, why wouldn't you? You're playing Coventry for a place in the semi-finals, which you now know would have been against Manchester United, who, you've got every chance of beating, as Coventry showed at the weekend anyway. So if it has ended their season, I can understand it. I mean, the good thing for us here is, if the rumour mill's to be believed, Gary O'Neill's going to Manchester United along with Ross Barkley. So he's not going to want to injure Ross Barkley, is he? So we might get Ross Barkley to absolutely shine.
What rumour mill have you been tapped into? I haven't heard the second bit of that. I've heard the Ross Barkley one, obviously, but I didn't know. I hadn't heard that at all.
I think if you're a manager who's won one game of football in the last year, you're being linked with Manchester United right now. Because to be fair, it is one more than old Baldy Ten Hag, isn't it? So, listen, there's loads. There's Gareth Southgate's the main one, isn't it? But no, Gary O'Neill I have heard mentioned. But that's by the by. You mentioned Neto there. And you're right to mention Neto. What a footballer this guy is, by the way. But he won't be a footballer on Saturday. Well, he will be a footballer on Saturday, but he won't be dressed up in Wolves kit on Saturday. He is definitely out injured. That is a massive, massive boost. That's not to say that they're not without threats, because Huan Yi-Chan is the surprise package of the season in many ways. At the start of the season, he was right up there in the goal chance, wasn't he? Had his own injury issues and, of course, went to the Asian Cup. But he was scoring, when Wolves were in that really good run of form, he was scoring pretty much every single game.
It was an impressive run of goal scoring form, I thought. He was very good, and you needed players to come in and do that, to achieve what they've done. And it is fantastic what they've done. They're not one of, they're a big-ish club, but they're not one of the big boys in the Premier League. To be currently, as we record this, in 11th place in the Premier League is absolutely outstanding. But they have got some good players. They sold some very outstanding players. But.
And that's important to actually mention here, because all of this bollocks that we keep hearing from Everton and Forest, that, we got to sell our players, that's affecting the integrity of... Wolves did that so that they didn't get punished. And their 11th in the table could be higher by the time that this is being played out. Sometimes you've got to get... People have got to look at Wolves and shout that from the rooftops, that you can sell players and you still can abide by these PSR rules if you want to. And that's always been the crux. Forest and Everton don't want to. Mm. If you want to abide by these rules, you can still sell your best players. Ruben Neves was one of the best players in the Premier League. Yep. The best players in the Premier League. They sold him, but they're actually going better in his absence. So you can do it if you want to. And that should be the narrative from the media. Don't feel sorry for Everton and Forest. They're pulling the wool over your eyes. Give the Wolves a lot more love for the fact that they have complied by the rules, even at the detriment of their squad, and shown that you can come out the other side of it.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, Brighton's another one as well. I mean, they're probably a different supermarket where they're selling their players for £100 million and then McAllister as well for 30-odd million pounds, isn't it? But that was their engine room last season. And they've got a great scouting network, as everybody knows. They pick up these great players and polish them up and sell them on, and it can be done. And that's what should be happening. You're right. I don't think enough credit's been given to Wolverhampton Wanderers for the job that they've done in that regard, because, you know, you weren't being disrespectful when you said about the Coventry FA Cup game possibly could be the end of their season. I mean, competitively, but wouldn't it be bloody lovely for us if that was the end of the season and you finished in a nice, comfortable mid-table position? That would have been dreamland. So, yeah, no, they have been really good. They've got some fantastic players. I really liked Cunha when he was playing. He wasn't really effective at Luton when they came down, but he seemed to grow into the season and he played really well. He's injured as well, isn't he? So, yeah, there's a lot of their really top players that you'd pick out on a team sheet and go, you'd be particularly worried about and say, that's going to be a really, really tough afternoon. It's still going to be a really tough afternoon. They're a great, a decent unit. You have to be where they are. And that's just the way it's going to be. But, you hope for a reaction from Luton, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, Wolves are suffering with injuries now, and they're paying the price for it because they've had to comply with PSR. If they didn't bother complying with PSR, they'd have had the Notts Forest kind of squad, and they'd still have been able to put out, you know, senior players, whereas their last bench against Arsenal was five teenagers on the bench, and they actually started a teenager up front. Obviously, if they didn't comply with PSR rules, they'd still have senior players to count for their injuries. So they're still showing, even though their form's dropped off because of some of these injuries, they're still showing that you can survive without it. So, I mean, that narrative really needs to be painted an awful lot more than this woe is me Everton and Forest that we seem to get. Although clearly Forest aren't going to get much love after what happened at the weekend in the media for a while, because that was just an absolute nonsense. Did we mention that in the last podcast?
Just a bit. And I think we should mention it again and again and again forevermore, because that was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. And I loved it.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, we're kind of running out of threats, really, for this Wolves side, because they're all injured, which, you know, happy days is good for us. Because the other one who, well, for sort of 40-odd minutes looked all right in that game was Bellegarde, until he got sent off. And he's injured as well. Mm. So, you know, that's the result. I'm just going through sort of their recent performances in my head. Either scoring or assisting, it seems to pop up all the time that Out Nouri is involved. Now, he left wing back by trade, but they've been shoving him onto the left side of a front three, I think. And sometimes I've actually seen him up on the right-hand side. Now, he only played a few minutes against Arsenal because, guess what? He was injured as well.
Goodness.
So, I don't know his situation. I mean, obviously, if they've got three games in a week, it might be that they choose to sack this one off. And play the Bournemouth game a bit harder. If you want to do that, Gary O'Neill, and I'm only saying that because Gary O'Neill used to manage Bournemouth before anyone thinks that Bournemouth's an easier or harder game than Luton. For Gary O'Neill, with what's happened, I'm expecting him to think Bournemouth is a bigger game than Luton. If you want to do that, mate, be my guest. Play all them teenagers that were on the bench. Crack on. It's absolutely fine in our game. But Out Nouri, if he does play, he seems to be popping up a lot, so someone's going to need to make sure they know where he is at all times.
Yeah, I like the look of him. Certainly from the Arsenal game anyway, one of the players that I was happy not to see on there, and I looked back on the preview podcast for the home game when Wolves came, I didn't fancy the old ex-Watford centre-back, but he'd done a great job.
Dawson,
yeah. He really used all his intelligence there to really nullify Luton's threats, but he wasn't playing against Arsenal either. So
and he's injured as well, yeah.
So that's a bonus for me, because that was a frustrating one. It wasn't just because he was ex-Watford, but I thought he didn't have the legs, but he's in the right positions all the right times, and kept the forward line very quiet that day.
Yep, again, absolutely perfect that he's not there. The other one, when they went to Tottenham, I think it was, João Gomes scored both goals that day. He's a central midfielder, one of those that arrives in the box. I mean, he's best known for Luton fans for being the guy who was signalling planes for our penalty down at our place, isn't he? He's had his hand miles above his head and the ball hit it. It's that guy. But
Seeing you're on that subject, by the way, and to bring it back to Forest, because why wouldn't you? All they do is complain about decisions. Wolves have had a ton of decisions go against them VAR. If anyone's hard done by...
It's all the West Brom fans and the referees. That's what it is.
But on the balance of it, I think West Brom... you've got to be talking about West Brom now. Sorry, Wolves. I know you don't like them, but...
I beat them in the cup. They're all right.
Wolves have had it really rough in the VAR stakes. Really rough. They have complained about it, but they haven't gone on Twitter and made a fool of themselves. So, well done, Wolves.
Absolutely, yeah. Well done, Wolves. Yeah, so this Gomez guy, he's going to pop up. But I think we're okay with midfielders arriving in the box now. We've got Sambi back, aren't we? He tracks midfield runners. And that was the real positive from Saturday. Sambi looked fine. Now, I would imagine Rob will do everything that he can to wrap him up in cotton wool to make sure that he's fine for this Saturday. But, you know, he'll do that with everyone, won't he? Obviously, Mengi's going to need... sort of looking after, Gabe's going to need looking after. And he hinted, after the Brentford game that one or two more bodies could be back. Of course, he's not going to tell you who they are on Friday. He'll tell you that they're ruled out, absolutely certain that they're ruled out. And then we might see them and led to believe that Chio could be one of them. And that would be key, wouldn't it? Because this is a big pitch at Molineux. And... if we can get some pace there, particularly in light of the fact that we are not sure Issa Kabore is going to be fit. That was a right cruncher that he took, actually, on Saturday, wasn't it? And you could tell when he got up, he didn't fancy it. But to be fair to him, he carried on. Just couldn't go again. So if we could get Chio's pace in there, then that would be kind of handy. But even if we only have the players that we had on Saturday, as long as Mengi and Osho are better in terms of their fitness, we got the personnel to do the job here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were hoping for at the weekend, really, against Brentford. And it just became quickly apparent that they weren't quite at it. If we're, you know, scrabbling around trying to find some positives, maybe just getting those minutes into them does them some good. Results-wise, it was an atrocious day, obviously. But like you say, Sambi was back to doing what he does best, which was... multitudes of things, which is pinging 60-yard balls to people and hitting it bang on and then skipping past players and bursting through into the pitch. That's what we wanted. And that will add so much of a different dimension. But you've got to keep them in the back. After you've just let five in, they've got to be more resilient there. And if anything, if those minutes have got Gabe and... Well, Tedden was great anyway. He's injured, isn't he? He's just in pain. If they've got them more up to speed, then that's great. And hopefully Reece Burke isn't ill all week as well. That was another thing that contributed. Although they won't put any blame on that. But we knew at the start of the season, Rob was talking about every single player has to be at it all the time and we've got to have full strength. So to have limped through 2024 with half a squad and now to have some back... We just want that to manifest into what we hoped those players could bring, really. And certainly a defence. We need to keep them to... Let's not delude ourselves and say clean sheets, because have we got one? We've got one this season.
Got one there in pre-season.
Well, yeah, maybe.
With Matt Macey in goal.
And yeah, well, that's a good omen, isn't it? Yeah. If we keep them to one, and then we're in for a shot.
Yep. Congratulations to Matt Macey and his Portsmouth side for winning League One, actually, by the way. Obviously, we've been there, done that, and it's a good feeling. So we're not sure on Issa Kabore. We're probably erring on the side of probably won't make it.
I'd say he won't make it after the... If he's rolled it, it's one thing, but he's probably taken an impact to it as well, isn't he? And he tried to play on and he just couldn't. I mean, fair play to the lad. He was trying, but, you know, in between him getting that, he nearly scored an own goal in between him going off. So
How on one leg did he get that round the post and across?
I don't know
how he did it, but fair play to Issa, because you know, it's bad enough as it was without us contributing to the scoring like we have been doing recently. The key is Sambi and Ross in the centre of the park. If we're going to stay in the Premier League, those two are going to pull the strings that keep Luton in the Premier League, aren't they? Because, well, they're just world-class quality. They're up against good midfielders. I've just highlighted Gomez. I think Tommy Doyle was their other midfielder on Saturday against Arsenal. I think he was on loan at Sheffield United last season, if memory serves. He was the fella who couldn't play when they got through to the Cup semi-final, wasn't he? So we've come up against him before. I mean, we've come up against all of these before. As I say, we played a pre-season friendly against them, and we've obviously played the home league game against them as well. And you're right with what you said about Dawson. That does leave a hole in their defence. They've still got Kilman, who's really highly rated, isn't he? Mm-hmm. But the two either side of that, it was Bueno and someone else on Saturday. And Arsenal seemed to get in, not necessarily in the wider areas, but in the sort of, what would you call it, inside channel sort of areas. They got where the two sort of wider centre-backs would be. They kind of got in there an awful lot. And, Gomez was the other one. So the kind of areas where Chong and Clark were operating on Saturday was where Arsenal got in a lot, through Trossard or through Odegaard. It wasn't so much the Sakas that got in, it was the kind of inside one player that got in. So that brings Chong and Clark. Chong, I thought, had a really positive start to the game on Saturday, like everyone, very quickly fizzled out, as it did for everyone. But I thought there were bright signs of Chong. He carried the ball again, and the things that we've been seeing him do, there was just no spark in the performance, was there? But he could be a bit, him and Clark, or Townsend, if Townsend's back in the side, or whoever it is in those two behind Morris, they're going to be key to the overall outcome. Because if they can take a defender each and leave Morris on one of the weaker defenders, then we're going to get some joy, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was struggling for a man of the match, particularly against Brentford, but...
Well, I mean, he conceded five, but it was Kaminsky, wasn't it? Because it'd have been 10 without him.
I gave it to Kaminsky in the end, but Chong was in the running.
It certainly weren't Gay Boshe, and that's no disrespect to Gay Boshe. Oh, no, but it certainly wasn't Gay Boshe.
We love Gay Boshe, but and Clark was another one. Clark had he was trying, and he was industrious, but the final ball quite often broke down.
He had one of those first half against Bournemouths him, didn't he?
It wasn't happened. I mean, the second half against Bournemouth was fantastic. It didn't happen for anybody in the second half for Luton, and he obviously got taken off subbed, so he's going to have a better game than he did there. He's getting on the ball a lot, but it just wasn't happening, and it was frustrating because you could see there'd be one ball ahead that would get them on a counter, or maybe a quick bounce off somebody else and then away, and it was so frustrating. It kept breaking down, whether it was the accuracy of the pass or the choice of who to pass it to, and that was really frustrating. So he's going to have a better game. He's probably going to play, isn't he? So I would imagine, unless they change it up some way, like you say, with Townsend coming in, they're not necessarily a direct replacement, but now you've got the option of Lokonga in the centre of the park. There's options to change there, isn't there?
Yeah, that box of four, so Barkley, Lokonga, Chong, and whoever it is, Townsend, Clark, Berry, would have to come into the equation, having scored two in his last three home games. Woodrow as well has contributed whenever he's... Whoever that other person is, I think we're safe with the other three. That box of four, we need to get them on the ball and in the game a lot, because they're the big four, aren't they? I know we've used our wing-backs an awful lot this season. Poor old Alfie, the season's just caught up with him and he just can't get away from it, can he? He's just got nothing in. Their legs just aren't playing the game that the brain wants to play with Alfie, and that's just accumulation of... I mean, if you think back to last season, it was very, very late in the season that he got involved. It wasn't like he was involved from the first game, was it? Was it Norwich away... Midway through sort of October-ish time.
He was injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he didn't do a full season last season either. So this would be the first full season that he's done for a long time, because he's been out on loan at other places, because we saw him at Cardiff where he got injured that day as well.
He was permanently injured at Stoke as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, so this is the first full season that Alfie Doughty's done, so it's no surprise that it's kind of caught up with him. And it's just obviously unfortunate that Joe Johnson hasn't been well all the time, that he could have replaced him. We know all of that. I'm not, no point in repeating it anymore. But if we can get that box of four on the ball a lot and not have to rely on Alfie to gallop down the wing as much and just use Alfie for his set piece and his dead ball skills, then that will be important, because, I mean, the quality that those four have got is good enough to win any Premier League game of football in terms of the attacking output.
Absolutely, and that's what we wanted Lokonga to come back for. I saw some stats on Twitter. I'd have to check them out myself. I didn't go into it too deep, but on the face of it, it looked like when Lokonga and Barkley are together, Barkley's stats are better as well, because Lokonga offers almost exactly what Barkley can do. His long-range passing is fantastic, but he's got an ability to ghost pass players and break through the lines of the midfield and get that next wave of attack between the defence and the attack and get things moving. He's got that ability and he showed that. There was no problems with that whatsoever in the first half. It's just, you know, that second goal against Brentford killed it, and then the second half was a disaster zone, wasn't it? So the promise is there, and he hasn't had loads of minutes in his legs because he had the hamstring injury at the beginning of the season as well. Imagine where we'd be if he played all season, that sort of thing.
Where Wolves are.
Well, yeah, potentially. He was that good. I mean, we were raving about him, and it's all there. And if him and Barkley can get that working again, because Barkley hasn't had the impact of late, it's almost like he's trying to do too much because there's nothing else happening around him. You can understand why. He's got the quality, but sometimes he's holding onto the ball and there's no movement for him to get the ball to. And then things break down, or you have to go backwards and you lose the momentum and stuff. But Lokonga offers another option to unpick those situations, so that's good. Chong has been fantastic for months now. And like I say, if you really had to give it to an outfield player, it would have been Chong for me against Brentford. It would have been the only choice, because he's the only one trying to look to do those things in breaking lines and getting forward. And he was the most creative in a not very creative weekend. Really lacking in creativity that weekend. But those three on the ball, I think that they can unpick many, many Premier League defences.
Yeah, those stats that you referred to a minute ago, they basically suggest that Barkley without Lokonga is a beast. Barkley with Lokonga is God.
Okay. Yeah, all praise him.
Well, he is, isn't he? Yeah. He's brilliant without Lokonga, and he's absolutely incredible with him.
I'll take that.
You two, please be absolutely incredible at the weekend. Please be absolutely incredible. This is a rare beast that we're coming up against that don't concede many goals from crosses.
Yeah, they were very good in the air at Kenilworth Road, for sure. And that's disappointing, because when there isn't that creativity to pick things apart, that's the best weapon. And we've known that all season. But kind of less so of late, because you've got Morris just playing up there on his own. There was lots of times where the crosses are going in, but whether they're accurate enough or whether there's not enough bodies in the box, then it's not quite working. So maybe they have to find another way. I mean, the good news is that despite the drubbing at the hands of Brentford, there was still a goal there, and that Luton still carry a threat of a goal. I think that the way that you generally approach a home and away game, you should think it'd be more open at Molineux, because they're the home team and they want to come out. They've got nothing to lose. They probably want to finish the season on a high and get some form back when six games they've not won now. So that says to me that they'd come out and try and play a bit more, and that's probably where Barkley and Lokonga thrive the most. Chong as well. Chong would be fantastic in that situation. If that's how it plays out, then jobs are good, and I think that we'll be in for a good game.
Yeah, we will indeed. And hopefully Stuart Atwell's VAR. And if it does start going tits up, he can do some assisting. If he's not VAR, let's hope he's refereeing Notts Forest against Man City on Sunday. That would be equally as helpful, wouldn't it?
And Keith Stroud's on the half-time oranges.
Oh, yeah. You know. What a double act. I never thought that Luton's survival chances might rest in the hands of Stuart Atwell and Keith Stroud. But, hey, we'll take it. Whichever way it comes, we'll take it. That's for sure. Yeah, I really like the idea, actually, of Morris getting away from Kilman, who is actually a good defender, feeding him into feet with Chong or whoever running either side, because that's what Arsenal did with Kai Havertz. They fed it into his feet. And when you've got Odegaard and Rice either side of him, whereas we'd have Lokonga and Barkley, I'm not even suggesting that we're even 50% as good as Odegaard and Rice and Havertz, but the structure is exactly the structure is exactly the same, and it worked for Arsenal. Surely it's got to work there. There might not be a lot left there on Saturday afternoon. That's Wednesday night they play them, and then they turn around very quickly. Okay, they're at home, so it's not the long travelling that we had sort of from Bournemouth back for Notts Forest. But it will still be in their legs. They've just been given the runaround by Arsenal. A lot of chasing the ball. Hey, we know what that looked like as well, don't we? Then they've got a Bournemouth game that their manager is going to be right up for. Because, you know, he was sacked in not controversial circumstances, but people didn't see it coming.
Surprising circumstances.
And then us. So we've really got to play on the fact that they could be tired, especially if they've got injuries and they're only bringing teenagers on, or not bringing teenagers on like we're not bringing teenagers on. They're really only there as a token gesture, for the want of a better phrase. So if they're having to do it with their 14, 15 men like we've been having to do it with our 14, 15 men, that third game at the end of the week, that's where it usually finds you out.
Yeah, it was a killer, wasn't it? We've seen that far too many times for our liking this season. And if that's going to be the case for Wolves, I mean, if that's going to be the case, you'd like to hope that Luton can capitalise. But there is the counterpoint to that, is that maybe they're more Premier League battle-hardened, which could be the case, and they could be able to do it more. But, you know, unless you're the top six, you've got 30-man squads, you know, that amount of injuries is going to blunt your major weapons, isn't it? And you've got to probably try and find another way. So in that regard, I think that's a positive, that we can play on, you can get some legs, rest into the legs of the Luton players, particularly the ones that have just come back and were struggling a bit. Then hopefully there's it evens the playing field a bit more.
Or even puts it slightly sort of in our advantage. Yeah, I mean, we're at the stage of the season where even if you can get 1% advantage, you have to jump all over that 1% advantage. And of course, the other advantage we've got, and we've mentioned this on plenty of other podcasts, this game is on Saturday. Wolves play on Sunday afternoon. They're on a hide into nothing against Man City. Yeah. Sorry, did I say Wolves? I meant Notts Forest, yeah. Got Wolves on my brain for this podcast. Forest play against Man City on Sunday afternoon. They're on a hide into nothing there. City are going for the title. They're not going to let up. It's just a case of how many they want, and hopefully it's plenty, like it was against us. There is the chance to put the pressure on these guys. And if we haven't mentioned it, their social media man pretty much alluded to the fact that they're really feeling the pressure, Forrest.
Yeah, they've gone all conspiracy theory, haven't they? So, hopefully that continues and they... they let it seep into every pore of their culture, and it shakes them to their core. I mean, they're shook already, aren't they? Really, that is the tweet of a club in disarray. And if not at the time they did it, certainly in the aftermath, because they are going to be lambasted, and quite rightly so, for everything that they've written there and come out with since. And the appeal may have been heard by the time this comes out. Hopefully that gets them absolutely nothing as well. So, yeah, I mean, all to play for. It's, it's not looking as grim and grey as it perhaps did at 5 o'clock on Saturday after Brentford, that's for sure.
Nope, It's like a heavyweight boxing clash, this, and there's 12 rounds of it, and we've really only done two or three. Yes, we've hit the canvas, but we're back on our feet. And Tyson Fury won late on, didn't he, in that one where he hit the canvas all the time against Wilder. So we're still fighting. That's the main thing. And that is the thing. We have to fight now on Saturday. There has to be a reaction. That can't. And the boys know this. They can't possibly offer up anything even remotely like they did against Brentford on Saturday. I'm confident they won't, because every other time these boys have been battered in the past, they've reacted. They've responded. Even if you just go back to when we lost from a 3-0 lead against Bournemouth, they didn't lose the following game. Okay, we didn't beat Forest, but we didn't lose the following game. We put a right shift in. And if we put a right shift in this game, I'm confident we've got the quality to win this game, coupled with the fact that Wolves don't seem to have the personnel to bring 15, 20, 30, 40 million pound players off the bench because so many are injured. So that will help us if we do tire later on in the game. Often when we've been swamped at the death, it's because world-class after world-class after world-class talent has come on. That doesn't look like that's going to be happening on Saturday. So plenty to be positive about with regards to this game of football. And hopefully it's the day that we come out of the bottom three, if at least for just 24 hours. But I'd be mighty pissed off if we come out and then Man City put us back in there again by losing to Forest. Surely that can't happen.
Yeah.
Premier League's unpredictable, but it can't be that unpredictable, surely.
I don't think it's unpredictable when it comes to Man City, unfortunately, because that makes it a poorer league that we just know that they're going to win the title from here. They don't lose after Christmas very often, and they certainly don't lose in the last 10 games of a run into a title. They're just a machine. And we just hope that that machine is absolutely relentless and, like the Terminator, absolutely does not stop scoring goals against Forest.
Yeah, Pep, that De Bruyne bloke, that Haaland bloke, you know, those two fellas that you played relentlessly at our place, stick them in the team on Sunday, will you, mate? Do us a bit of a turn. That's almost it for this episode of the podcast, but we're not going to leave you without the score predictions, because I'm one behind James. And I have to catch him at the very least. I got to catch him. Can't be not catching him. But you can go first. Wolves versus Luton. How does it end?
I think there will be a reaction, just based on historical evidence that we've got of this team. Many of the players are still were in the last seasons and the seasons before that. Those big results, those big defeats came, which thankfully I have are quite rare. And I think that that will be a one-off.
We're not Sheffield United, where it's once a month.
No.
It's once a season for us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I do think there'll be a reaction. Just not quite confident that there'll be a win, so I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Oh, happy days for my correct scores here. I thought I was going to have to change it for a bigger win, but I'll just take the win that I was going to give us then, 2-1 Luton, no problemo. That would do. I really thought I was going to have to up the ante and go 3-1 or 4-1. So that is a right result for me in the old correct score stakes. The one thing we haven't mentioned here, if there's a football club Rob Edwards knows all about, we're going to it on Saturday, because he came through the coaching ranks there. He knows everything about Wolves. There was a reason why we went and poached Ryan Giles at the start of the season. Okay, that didn't work out. Let's not do that. But he knows Wolves. He'll still have friends or whatever inside that camp. He'll know exactly how it works. This is the one where he's not guessing what the opposition are going to do here. He'll know what the opposition are going to do.
Yeah, I think that information and that knowledge will come in handy. The ties are still obviously there from not only the Giles thing, but the pre-season where they went up there. So the links and ties are there. I think, it could be a benefit, could be a bonus. Obviously, you'll want to win as well. That's another thing. The one thing that's got me worried there is that you celebrated that score prediction scenario, like Dan Potts winning the toss at the Championship playoff final, and now I'm a bit worried.
I hope there's no Coventry fans watching, because that's four tosses of penalty shootouts in the last 12 months they've gone through, and they've lost a lot. I mean, how's your Donald?
Yeah, it's rough. I really hope that they would have beat Man United there. I think it's probably still spells the end of Ten Hag, doesn't it? But they've had a rotten luck from the spot. Thankfully, one of those against us.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Ender Ten Hag, Gary O'Neill's going there, as I mentioned earlier on in the podcast. You're not convinced by that, are you?
I'd like to see. I really would like to see a manager like Gary O'Neill.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'd like to see Gareth Southgate go there. Then we can end all this Ross Barkley nonsense.
Yeah. I don't mean that to upset you, Wolves fans, if you're watching. I just think that you've got a very, very good coach there. And if Man United are going to go down the route and change their entire culture, I think they have to start from... I was going to say a lower place. I don't mean that with any respect, but I mean start with a man who's going to build something. And I think Gary O'Neill looks like he can probably do that. He was doing it at Bournemouth. He's done it at Wolves. Why not? But I don't think it will happen.
No, me neither. So 1-1 for James, 2-1 Luton for me. Get your score predictions in. Plenty of time for this one. We've got this one out nice and early. Nice to have a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff with a week in between it, isn't it? We ain't had them for a while. So that's good. Yeah, get your score predictions in. If you get the right score, as always, you'll get a shout out in the review podcast, which will be out exactly the same time as it usually is after the game. So sort of early Monday morning, UK time, by the time that is out. Thanks very much for all of your comments, for everyone who's been subscribing, not just to our YouTube channel, actually. We don't show nearly enough love to just the audio channels, which are still in operation as well. If you don't want to see our ugly mugs every episode, and we would completely understand why that is the case. Subscriber numbers going through the roof. We love hearing how much you're enjoying the podcasts, even the last two or three, which have been really difficult to both record and I'm sure reflect back on. But we do appreciate it. We see all of your comments, particularly, obviously, when you come up to us at the games. Do keep on doing that. We love to hear how much you're enjoying the podcast, and we'll keep on doing that, won't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's good to hear. I was having a good natter at the weekend with a programme seller. I apologise, I didn't grab your name. But
nor did I, because I saw the same fella.
Same guy. But, you know, it was a good chat we had. So at that point, I was high on life because the team seat had just been announced. So that was about the last time I was quite that happy on Saturday afternoon. But hopefully this Saturday afternoon, that can be restored.
Indeed so, yep. Thanks also to the Hightown Club for hosting our studio, as always, to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. I've done this the wrong way around for this one, haven't I? And Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music, which you're about to hear once again.
I've only been doing this 80 odd times, mate.
Change is good at times. Not everyone likes it, but sometimes you got to do it. Listen, last two I've done normally, we've lost 5-1. We've got to change something, mate.
Mix it up. Good plan.
We've got to change something. Until next time, which will be the review of what we hope will be 3 points on the way to the start of the great Premier League escape from James and myself. Come on, you Hatters. We can do this.
You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got this massive soul.